The daughters of Zelophehad occupy a lot of real estate in the Old Testament. 5 different places they're mentioned, yet so many of us have no idea who they are. Let's change that today. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me and sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl, and today we are continuing our journey through the Old Testament where we are looking at different women. And I love the story that we're going to get into today. It's about the daughters of Zelophehad. And full transparency, a couple months ago, if you had asked me who they were, I would have no idea. I would have probably guessed they were in the Old Testament, but I had no idea. And yet their story is so impactful. It's something that we just need to know. And so we're going to be reading from Numbers chapter 27 today. Now, they are found in a bunch of different places in scripture, but we're going to be focusing on Numbers 27 right now. Starting at verse 1, the daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonged to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They came forward and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and the whole assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting and said, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no son? Give us property among our father's relatives." So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "What Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and give their father's inheritance to them. Say to the Israelites, if a man dies and leaves no son, give his inheritance to his daughter. If he has no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father had no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan, that he may possess it. This is to have the force of law for the Israelites, as the Lord commanded Moses." So let's unpack this a little bit. The daughters of Zelophehad are women most of us know very little about. And just pay attention for a second. In contrast, there are women in scripture that occupy much less biblical real estate. For example, one of my favorites, the woman at the well, she is only seen in John chapter 4. We have no idea what her name was. She was never named. We only know her as the Samaritan woman. And she only ever appears there in that one chapter of the Bible, yet we all know about her. In contrast, Zelo's daughters, which I just call him Zelo because it's easier to pronounce, they're mentioned 5 different places in the Bible, and almost 2 complete chapters in the book of Numbers is dedicated to their story. And in 4 of those 5 locations, they're not just referenced as his daughters, but they are specifically named by name, all 5 of them. That is incredibly rare, especially in the Old Testament. And we don't know their story. As women in the body of Christ, we don't know their story until now. Their story is one of my favorites, and let's unpack it. What did they do? Why is this important? Well, they are the first women we see in Scripture to declare their rights. Remember, in the ancient Near East, and really is up about until 3,500 years ago in that culture, women had 0 property rights. So if their father died and he had no sons, his daughters did not get to keep what he had left. And so think about this in terms of what land meant in the Old Testament. This was God's promise. By God's design, this is the promised land that they're getting ready to enter. It's going to be divided up by family line or clan, and each tribe or clan is going to have specific boundaries that they were going to inherit. Remember that while Scripture was written for us, it was not written to us. It was written to an ancient people group, so it would have been much different for them to read through some of these facts than it would be for us. Because for us, when we're reading through the Bible, and hopefully you do read through the Bible, when we're reading through the Bible, things like the land allotments or the genealogy really isn't super interesting. And for a lot of us, we will just kind of skip through that, especially when it starts to feel like it's repetitive. But for the people that were living in this time frame, they were the ones that were getting that land. So if they were reading this or they're hearing this and they're learning this, they would be incredibly excited, wouldn't you? If God told you, here's property that I'm giving you in this beautiful area that's promised land, you would be paying very careful attention. You would want to know exactly what the boundaries are. You want to know who's living next to you. You want to know how far you can go. You want to get it surveyed. All of those things are super important. So that's the context which these people are reading this or living this at this point. They want to know exactly where they're supposed to live. And so especially if God is saying, this is where you're supposed to live and where your family is supposed to live and where they're supposed to stay for all time, that was a really well-read passage and it was really well-known information. And so we have to think about this also, that it's not just land, it's the promised land. So God was giving this land to his people because they were his treasured possession. God owned the land, God was in possession of the people, and now he is allocating where the people are supposed to live on the land. It was all part of God's plan, his provision for them. And so it was very important that all of the people that were still alive at this point had some of the land. It wasn't promised land to you if you weren't part of that promise. And so it was really important for these families, the tribes or clans, however you want to refer to them, it was really important for them to have certain allotments for them because that was part of their identity. And then if something happened, one of the things you'll read about in other places of Scripture that talk about this story is the year of Jubilee. So basically what that meant is if your family came on hard times and you end up having to sell your land to pay for whatever, then on the year of Jubilee, that land would actually go back to your family. That was a law in their culture. That's how important land was in this time frame. So the problem is, what these girls are facing is, what happens if the man has no sons? Because in the ancient world, the land, when the father died, would go to the sons. And it was never even an option for girls to receive some of that land. But what they're saying is basically, look, our dad, he didn't have any sons, which means now we're not going to have a place to live. We're not going to have an identity when we enter into the promised land. And so Zelophehad, his lineage was all daughters. He had no sons. So under the law at that point, what that meant was, is that nobody would get that land. And the land that should have been allotted to him is now going to go to other members of that tribe or that clan. And so what would happen to his name? Well, it would be forever blotted out. No one was going to remember him. His whole family line, of course, is gone now. Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family-owned and family-friendly company, I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the signature Five Lakes blend and Chris's blend, because for Chris's blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code HearingJesus. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code HearingJesus for 20% off your first order.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
These daughters were the first women to ever declare their rights after the death of their father. Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, Tirzah. Their father was from the tribe of Manasseh, and he died in the wilderness. And so the daughters are explaining to Moses and to this assembly that it wasn't like he went and did like what Korah did, where he had rebelled against Moses. Their father had died. It says he died in their own sin, meaning just like that entire generation that had wandered the desert, he was part of that generation, that first set of people. That was his sin, but it wasn't like he went and rebelled against Moses. Quite the opposite. He was loyal to Moses. And so this was happening at this critical time because they were creating this census and they were preparing to enter the promised land and the land was getting distributed. And so they came to Moses and said, look, we deserve to have some of this land too. And our father doesn't deserve to be forgotten. And so Moses, he takes it before the Lord and basically God says, yeah, they're right. And notice the thing that I think is important. God didn't just say, yeah, let them live there, but he said, transfer the whole legal right of the property to the daughters. And so then that whole statute becomes the general statute for every case where there is no son. Instead, there's only daughters, and it becomes the new law of the land. And so as a result of this decision, it's not just her, but then it, or these daughters, it goes into different instances where there were no children and maybe no brothers. And so it kind of changes the way that the land is being distributed, and it's starting to look at this identity issues. And so the daughters of Zelophehad, Mr. Zelo, they actually filed essentially one of the earliest reported lawsuits on record. And what's super interesting is juries still turn to it for opinions, and they declare it the oldest decided case, and it is still used as an authority today. In 1924, the American Bar Association Journal In their February issue, there was an article written, and it was quoted the Daughters of Zelophehad. It's described as a, quote, early declaratory judgment in which property rights of women marrying outside of their tribe are clearly set forth. So essentially, even as late as 1924 in the United States, the American Bar Association is still referring back to this case. And the decision that was handed down in the time of Moses was a victory for women even to this day. Some of the legal laws that we have to this day in the United States are based off of this very first legal case. So finally, and for the first time, women had rights. Now, of course, it took a long time to catch up, even in the United States. But these five daughters declared what was theirs, and they had the courage to fight their case, even though it had never been done before, and there was a lot of authority up against them. Up until now, there was no legal property rights for women, but because they were courageous and bold and they fought not just for themselves, but for their family line, God honored that and he saw that and he made provision for them. Now, there were other complications, and you can go ahead and read more about that in other passages of scripture. I'll link them in the show notes. They were from the tribe of Manasseh, but basically what happened was then the men of the Manasseh tribe came forward and said, well, what happens if these girls then meet someone and they marry someone from one of our other tribes? Because remember, there was 12 tribes of Israel. So the men of Manasseh were saying, we recognize that this should stay within the tribe of Manasseh. That's why, because Zelophehad was from Manasseh, that's why this works. But what happens if they decide to go outside of our tribe? And so then there was another provision to the law that basically said, you can marry whoever you want as long as he's within the tribe, the clan of Manasseh, because we don't want the identity of the people of the Manasseh tribe or clan to be diluted. We want to make sure that it stays within this identity piece. And so there's this other statute that is then handed down, and they are fine with that because they weren't necessarily feminists for the sake of just standing up for their rights. They were trying to preserve their family line, the identity of their father. And so I love all that because it's not just about fighting to fight just for the rights of women. You know, were they feminist? Perhaps. And some people, some scholars would call them that. But more so, they were fighting for their family. And that was honored by God. These are strong women. Women who were not afraid to stand up for themselves, for their family line, for each other, and then other women that are in the same situation. They're such a powerful and great example of women that are being obedient to what they think God is calling them to do. They are having the courage to stand up to those that are in authority over them, even when it's never been done before. And I see God honoring that spirit. And so when we are faced with something, I think this is the takeaway. As women, sometimes we are faced with things that feel incredibly hard. They've never been done before. In fact, the culture, the society, the way things are oppositional to what we think God is calling us to. We can look to the example of these women, these five daughters of Zelophehad, Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, Tirzah, and as they declared their rights and they won this court decision that legal courts accept as law to this day, they changed the course of history. And it's in the biblical record. We need to not only know this story, but we need to share this story with those around us because it's a powerful example of having boldness and courage and also humility, because they then succeeded to go ahead and say, yes, this amendment, this makes sense that we're going to keep it within the tribe. There was a humble posture that they weren't just fighting for the sake of fighting, but they were fighting for their family. It's such an incredible story. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the example of these daughters, for not just women, but for anybody that is standing in the gap in a way that you have called them to, and it doesn't seem to make sense. It's not been done before. It's against the culture. It's countercultural. Maybe it's even against the leadership that we see, the leadership structures we see within the church. But God, help us to lean into whatever it is that you are calling us to do, whatever it is that you have put on our hearts. And the fact that these daughters, their court case is still cited today in the American court system, system today. God, it's incredible. It's an incredible piece of history that sometimes we overlook. God, help us to be encouraged to know that our voices as daughters of God can make a difference. God, I thank you and praise you for this powerful example we see in Scripture and how you consistently reveal your heart for your daughters within the Word. We thank you and praise you. Amen.
Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.